Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching for the next 9 months while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. Pastor is scheduled to return July 2021. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Due to the coronavirus, our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020-pound. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. It is our sincere desire that you live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's continue with my new teaching titled, The Book of Romans, Our Guidebook for Christian Living. This teaching is a verse-by-verse examination of the New Testament book and will provide the listener important details that will give all of us insight on how to live in victory by applying the biblical principles that Apostle Paul shares with us. When I speak of the book of Romans as a guidebook, I'm referring to a manual of information that will give the Christian the ability to live life skillfully in Jesus. It is a guide to a godly lifestyle that may be unknown or unfamiliar to some of you. Therefore, Apostle Paul wrote this book with the intention to lead us to the knowledge of God's New Testament promises, give us understanding on how to operate successfully through applying God's word to our life, and as a result, live according to God's wisdom as more than conquerors. It is no secret that the more we know and come to understand God's holy word, the easier it will be for each of us to apply the promises of God to our life by faith. It is through developing and becoming strong in faith that we not only please our Heavenly Father, but also come to experience the more than abundant life in Jesus. The kind of life that gives us the victory over all the challenges of life. If you are tired of being a victim of Satan, you need to be a part of this weekly study. For this teaching, I have selected two key verses from the book of Romans for our foundational scripture. Please go to Romans chapter 1. We're going to read Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Verse 16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation from his wrath and punishment to everyone who believes in Christ as Savior, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, both springing from faith and leading to faith, disclosed in a way that awakens more faith. As it is written, and forever remains written, the just and upright shall live by his faith. If you were not with us at the beginning of this teaching, or would like to re-listen to any of the previous programs aired, I invite you to go to our website at kccfc.net to hear any of the episodes now archived under our radio page. You may also give us your comments and or questions by way of our website at any time. We welcome them all. For this study, I will be quoting from the Amplified Study Bible unless otherwise stated. Now let's continue where I left off last week. We were examining chapter 2, verse 18, when I ran out of time. Please go to the book of Romans, chapter 2, verse 18. Again, Romans chapter 2, the title or topic matter of this chapter is the impartiality of God. I will not reread verse 18 from the Bible, but I do want to restate my comment regarding this verse before continuing with verse number 19. So for verse 18, I have this to say. Verses 17 through 25 are acutely interconnected because these verses all deal with the subject of self-righteousness. Self-righteousness. The Jews boasted about having the law of God, but they broke the law continually, whereupon bringing upon themselves condemnation. The key phrase in verse 18 is, if you claim to know his will. If you claim to know his will. And this should be a wake-up call for every believer. If you claim to know his will, then a self-examination is necessary to make sure that you're doing the will. Amen. All right, let's go on to verse 19. I'm going to read again from the Amplified Study Bible. It says, and if you are confident that you are a qualified guide to the blind, those untaught in theology, a light to those who are in darkness. All right, the key verse to verse 19 is, if you are confident that you are qualified. Now, those that are called qualified are those individuals who know the Word of God and are doing the Word of God. Let's read verse 20 from the Bible. And that you are a corrector of the foolish, a teacher of the spiritually childish, having in the law the embodiment of knowledge and of the truth. The key phrase in verse 20 is that you are a corrector of the foolish. Every believer should examine themselves to make sure that their conduct and their words of encouragement are not foolish, but line up with the Word of God. Let's go on to verse 21. Verse 21 reads, well then, you who teach others, do you not teach yourselves? You who preach against stealing, do you steal in ways that are discreet, but just as sinful? For verse 21, the key phrase is, do you teach yourself? This is a very important as a Christian, that before you go out to share the good news of Jesus Christ with others, that you first make sure that your life lines up with the Word of God, both in words and actions, so that when you come face to face with others who need encouragement, exhortation, correction, that you can give it in a valid way that will bless them, exalt the name of Jesus, and draw them to Christ. Amen. Let's go on to verse 22. The Bible reads, you who say that one must not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who detest idols, do you rob pagan temples of valuable idols and offerings? All right, for verse 22, the key phrase is, you who say, again, make sure that your life lines up with the Word of God so that you are not giving a disdain to the gospel. All right, let's go on to verse 23. The Bible reads, you who boast in the law, do you repeatedly dishonor God by breaking the law? Verse 23, the key phrase is, you who boast. This is why it's so and very important to keep humble in the Word of God. Don't be boastful. People can see how your conduct is. They can see behind those smiling faces. And they know when they see something genuine, a genuine Christian who is living for the Lord. So don't boast, but rather humble yourself and allow the Holy Spirit to use you as a vessel of clay for God's glory and for bringing people to Christ. Amen. All right, let's read verse 24 from the Bible. It says, "For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, just as it is written in Scripture." All right, here's verse 24, the key phrases. The name of God is blasphemed. So we know that these particular passages that we've been reading is really directed to the Jew, the converted Jew, or those who choose to believe Jesus as the Messiah. But this can be a good place to examine ourselves as New Testament scriptures, because Satan doesn't have any new tricks. The same old tricks that he poured on the Jews when they got converted is the same old mess that he will put on us. So we have to do a self-examination. We have to make sure that our life lines up with the Word of God so that we can draw others to Christ. All right, let's go on to verse 25. I'm going to read from the Bible. It says, "Circumcision, the sign of the covenant of Abraham, is indeed of value if you practice the law. But if you habitually break the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. It is meaningless in God's sight." Now, for verse 25, the key verse is, "Your circumcision has become uncircumcision." Again, we're talking about under the Old Testament, where the law was written so that the Jew had to be circumcised as part of being a part of the covenant. And as a result of their circumcision, they were called the saints or Old Testament servants of God. But that circumcision was a physical sign. Now, today, under the New Testament, we have been considered circumcised because we have accepted the gift of salvation in Jesus. He has completed the work that is necessary for each individual to receive and become justified, sanctified, and righteous. In Him, we have the right standing with God. Amen. All right, let's read verse 26 from the Bible. It says, "So if the uncircumcised man keeps the requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be regarded by God as circumcision?" Now, here's my comment regarding verse 26. When God directed Israel to circumcise their male children, He gave them this ritual as the mark of their Old Testament blood covenant with Him. No other group of people or nation at that time practiced this ritual. Therefore, to say uncircumcised man will be regarded as circumcised by God lets us know that obedience to God's new covenant is more important than any Old Testament ritual, including circumcision. Again, God sees the heart or motive of man to honor Him, and He declares them righteous through Jesus. And praise the name of Jesus for that, because as a result of the work of Jesus, we have been set free from the curse of the law under the Old Testament. Again, God sees the heart or motive of man to honor Him, and He declares them righteous through Jesus. Praise God. All right, let's go on to verse number 27. Verse 27 reads, "Then he who is physically uncircumcised but keeps the spirit of the law will judge you, who, even though you have the written code and circumcision, break the law." So verse 27, here's my comment. Paul continues to emphasize the importance of not being self-righteous. It is not just having God's law available to you, but it's doing the law that declares man righteous. Judgment is based on obedience, not titles. This message is not old today. How many times have we heard of pastors who have yielded to their flesh and shame God by their actions? Pastors are held more accountable than his congregants because they have been chosen to speak on behalf of God and should be submitted to do God's word. So, a caution to every Christian, especially those in ministry, that we just don't hold on to titles, but rather do the word of God to show ourselves approved unto him. Amen. All right, let's go on to verse 28 in the Bible. It reads, "For he is not a real Jew who is only one outwardly, nor is true circumcision something external and physical." All right, here's my comment for verse 28. The person who knowingly breaks the law is not a real Jew. Circumcision is an outward sign of an inward experience. This ritual was a declaration of who the Jews served. It was a physical sign that they were set apart to serve the living God. But in and of itself, it serves no purpose if the Jew does not obey the law. All right, for us New Testament Christians, we stand in that same spotlight. If we claim to be born again Christians in Jesus Christ, then we should be living like our Savior and Lord. And that is possible by studying his word and applying his word by faith. All right, let's go to verse 29. This is the last verse in chapter number 2. The Bible verse reads, "But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and true circumcision is circumcision of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the fulfillment of the letter of the law. His praise is not from men, but from God." Here's my comment regarding verse 29. The true Jew is the one whose heart is made right by the Holy Spirit. His praise is not from men, but from God. Keep in mind that this is a hard pill to swallow for the Jew because Israel thought they were the only ones that God loved. And keep in mind that Paul, who is correcting them, is a Jew, highly qualified and educated in the understanding of the law. God chose Paul for this assignment for this very reason. That's why this letter has been successful throughout these many years, because the truth of the matter lies in the motive of the man's heart, his spirit. So we know that as much as we say outwardly, we should be presenting ourselves by action and living out our lives according to God's word. All right, this completes chapter number 2. Let's go on to Romans chapter number 3. And chapter number 3, there is a title that says, "All the World Guilty." So in this chapter, this topic will be expounded on, "All the World Guilty." I'm going to read verse number 1 from the Bible. It says, "Then what is the advantage of the Jew? Or what is the benefit of circumcision?" Here's my comment regarding verse number 1. Under the Old Testament, there was a great advantage given to the Jew in that the Old Covenant was first revealed to the Jewish people. However, God's purpose was always to share his salvation gift with all people, Jews and Gentiles. So under the New Covenant or Testament, what is the advantage of the Jew and circumcision? There is no blood covenant advantage because today both Jew and Gentile have the same right to receive the gift of salvation in Jesus without prejudice. Under the New Testament, every believer in Jesus, both Jew and Gentile, are equal in the sight of our Heavenly Father. Praise the name. All right, let's go on to verse number 2. The Bible verse reads, "Great in every respect to begin with. The Jews were entrusted with the oracles of God, his very words." All right, let's go to my comment for verse number 2. Again, under the Old Testament, which was completed in Jesus, did entrust God's word or covenant to the Jew first. God needed a willing people or person to be obedient to his covenant and usher the way for the Messiah. Remember, God can only work through a willing man on this earth because he has given us authority, power, and dominion over this world. This is what the Abraham, also known as Abram covenant in Genesis chapter 15, is all about. We give our Heavenly Father permission to get involved with the issues of life through our prayers and faith confessions. So whether you're Jew or Greek or Gentile, you can be used of the Heavenly Father if you choose to be used. In other words, you are submitted to Jesus as Savior and Lord, you've accepted him as your Savior, and you are willing to grow in faith and be used as a vessel to share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. All right, let's read verse number 3 from the Bible. It says, "What then? If some did not believe or were unfaithful to God, their lack or belief will not nullify and make invalid the faithfulness of God and his word, will it?" All right, here's my comment regarding verse number 3. The scriptures tell us that God is not a man that he should lie. That's found in Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. Therefore, if he does not lie, then that presupposes that he tells the truth. We can count on his word without equivocation. Therefore, we cannot nullify and make invalid the faithfulness of God. God is God, and there is no other. You can find scripture regarding this very statement in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 5. However, when we operate in sin and or unbelief in God's promises, we give Satan permission to attack us. So don't give him permission. Stay focused on his word. As you continue to study and apply the word, your faith will grow, and you will be that mature Christian that God can use for his glory and honor. And as a result, you will be blessed beyond measure. Amen. All right, let's go on to verse number 4. The Bible says, "Certainly not. Yet let God be found true, as he will be, though every person be found a liar, just as it is written in Scripture, that you may be justified in your words and prevail when you are judged by sinful men." Here's my comment regarding verse number 4. In this key verse, "that you may be justified in your words and prevail when you are judged," can be seen in two ways. First, under the New Testament, when man accepts Jesus as Savior and Lord, that individual must confess with his own words that Jesus is God's Son and that Jesus came to save him. In doing so, that individual is justified by his words, and when judgment day comes, that individual will prevail and receive his crown of glory to live for eternity with the Lord. However, in the Old Testament, this passage found in Psalm 51:4, it is speaking of our Holy Father presiding on his judgment over man. This is a good time to remind everyone that when we read the Old Testament, we should be reading it for historical information and prophetic word. Most of the Old Testament commandments should not be used to apply to your life as a born-again Christian in Jesus. But it is important for us to study the full Bible because it lets us know what the old saints had to accomplish, what they went through, and of course, the prophetic word that was spoken about our Messiah, Jesus the Christ. All right, let's read verse number 5 from the Bible. It says, "But if our unrighteousness demonstrates the righteousness of God, what shall we say? God is not wrong in to inflict his wrath on us, is he? I am speaking in purely human terms. Here's my comment regarding verse number 5. God's character of love, patience, long-suffering does not allow him to inflict his wrath on us. Remember, when he looks at his children who have been bought with the blood of Jesus, God sees the perfect Jesus, not us imperfect humans. Thank you, Jesus. The saints of the Old Testament were the servants of God and were rewarded according to their obedience to the law. Today, Christians are rewarded according to the blood covenant of Jesus Christ, which is perfect and without sin. All right, let's read verse number 6 from the Bible. Certainly not, for otherwise, how will God judge the world? Here's my comment regarding verse number 6. The phrase, how will God judge the world? We should know that under the New Testament, our righteousness or unrighteousness will be judged by whether you have or have not accepted Jesus as Savior and Lord. And that is the final determination as to where you will spend eternity, whether it be in hell or with the living God. Amen. Family, I'm so sorry, but I am out of time. Please come back next week as we continue our study of the Book of Romans, our guidebook for Christian living. Thank you for sharing this time with us, and if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.